or B button?
Well, neither one's labeled A or B. Actually, there's a lot more than two. You could do A-B testing, but you would not do all the buttons.
And don't press poor A. A is a rouge, not a button.
I am not a button. I am a free kobold.
Right.
Please stop sending giant balloons after me. It's very confusing.
Throw psychic daggers at it and run away.
You know, Ellie is a gem for many reasons. And one of them includes her tendency to throw word history into the chat. I love it.
Yee and haw. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yee is turned right, I assume.
Well, hemming and hawing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
We were hemming and hawing.
That's interesting. Right. I guess you hem.
And fixing up the edges of skirts.
I mean, you hem. Fix the edge of the skirt. You have to. You obviously have to turn it while you're fixing it. Crash, did you press the button?
Oh, yeah, I pressed it a while ago. This entire thing is the cold open. That. Hello, and welcome to Cause and Effect, episode 45, intermission. My name is Crash. I will be your GM or DM or however you want to refer to the person in charge of this chaos who absolves themselves of the chaos because in this game, everything is the player's fault. You might say, don't you mean the characters? To which I say no.
No.
No, I don't. Some of the messes they've had to clean up were caused by other characters who were controlled by these players. And those were the best messes because the players knew what was going on, but they had to have the characters not. Oh no, I know what this is. No, you don't. With me tonight are a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Eo, and Jen. We might have a Millie joining us. Millie is dog sitting. That's fun. So, what happened last time?
We do not remember.
Nope.
It has been years. It's been 84 years.
We fought off the poor, messed up cyborg dwarf warforged ultra warforged nanite capable barely didn't one shot a few of us in the middle of a wild magic place, so you were rolling magical side effects every time we did anything.
Well, and you were at the top of a wizard's tower that wasn't necessarily attached to the bottom of a wizard's tower, where an old wizard, not the original wizard for this wizard tower, but the new tenant, who was a very old and powerful wizard, had been doing magical research. And then you swooped in and someone else fell out of the sky.
And climbed up the side, and
someone's gonna turn bright pink when that happens.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or get advantage on multiple rolls.
And A turned into a chimera.
That did happen.
And Tex and Mech worked together and hit the poor not in control of her body, particularly dwarf brain cyborg.
She had some control. She just had to do things that didn't go against prior orders.
Yeah, I think there were a few bits where she was doing, okay, yes, I will look over there. So we got some advantages.
Talking herself through seeing how that would be a totally reasonable thing for her to do based on orders given in order to convince the nanites that are in as a stopgap control mechanism to say, oh, why, yes, we should definitely allow you to. Why are we now hovering over thin air like a Looney Tunes character? Again. Yes.
Tex used her special abilities to knock the poor gal off, whose name I've forgotten. I think we found it out.
If I remember correctly, Ellie, you used two different abilities. One of them was you knocked her back, but then you swapped places with her.
Yes, first Visa. Or I thought was?
I knocked her back, and then I swapped places with her, and then I knocked her back again.
Yes.
I think.
That sounds about right. You didn't like her position, so you swapped places, and then...
It has to be a willing target, but yeah.
Which is why I said, would you come over here, please? Or would you like to see this view?
Mm-hmm.
And she picked up what you were putting down, because you'd already knocked her back once.
It's like, yes, please, do get next to the giant hole that's in this wizard's tower so that you can go down. And then, once she was down, and we mean like several levels down.
Three levels down, before, so far as what you heard.
Crash, crash, crash.
What? Dang,
crunch. Yeah, crunch, crunch, crunch. And then the people who could fly flew, and... The people who couldn't fly got some lift from a laboring Chimera A, and
who rolled a nat 20 on a strength check.
Yes, mm-hmm. They're good, and then we all got the heck out of Dodge, including the wizard we were sent to find.
Yes, well, Marwood was reunited with his old friend Fiddle Punch, and you don't know much more than that. You completed your mission, though. But last you heard, Marwood was hanging out in Coombridge, where Fiddle Punch likes to hang out.
Oh, that reminds me, did we get paid for it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You should have gotten paid for that. That's going to be 6,000 gold split between you.
I mean, there's six of us in this group, theoretically, so...
Seven if you include Magpie the Crow.
Chapel, are we including your familiar when we split the gold?
Magpie is going to want to build a nest egg.
I am concerned that what Magpie wants to do is build a nest.
Out of gold?
They got that name for a reason, and that reason was not their species.
Yes, they're a crow. Look, here's the thing. They have to be thinking about retirement. They don't have the brand recognition that Smallest Cap currently has. It's a stiff competition out there for marketable, familiar memorabilia. You put a skeletal lizard on a t-shirt, people are going to know, oh, that's Smallest Cap. You put a crow on it, they're going to think that you just like a certain series of movies or you go to Hot Topic.
Or that you're a raven.
Mm. Well, nevermore, says Magpie, which just adds to the confusion. Memo to self, Ogmanite jetpack. Ellie, I have good news and bad news.
They're the same news.
One was created.
The good news is that it goes up. The bad news is that it is equally good at going down.
It's less a jetpack and more of a rocket pack. And that rockets sometimes go boom when they reach the apex of their trajectory or impact.
That's fireworks.
In the rocket's red glare, Warforged bursting in air.
Oh no.
No concerns. I have them.
The problem with the Ogmanite jetpack is twofold. One, a lot of their funding is difficult to acquire because there's a lot of people who just say, there's so many magical items out there that can just let you do the same thing. Look, that bard over there has turquoise sneakers with little bat wings on it.
And aren't they adorable?
I mean, yes, I've been told that Mo is getting them mass produced in a variety of colors. Also, apparently,
none
you can
fit Tabaxi probably.
Also, Mo might be selling Cabal t-shirts.
I think that's only fair.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like if you're a bard, Locke, your patron is kind of automatically your manager if they want to be.
Just wait until...
Furthermore, if Mo...
Just wait until Cause and Effect Season 2. Cavil's tour.
I also feel that if Mo asks, Hobby will absolutely take some kind of magic camera and try to get good shots of Cavil.
The other problem with an Ogmanite jetpack is fuel capacity, because once you get a jetpack that holds enough fuel to take you somewhere meaningful, it is now too large to actually carry well. Granted.
Speaking of gold, how much did we get paid? How much gold should I have?
If you're splitting it evenly, everyone's getting 1,000.
So I should put that down
somewhere.
Now, they did try to use a more compact fuel source. That would be Gear Grinder Special.
Okay.
Gear Grinder Special has been used as a rocket fuel in the past. Note previous statement about the problem with rockets.
What was the amount we got? Sorry.
1,000.
1,000.
1,000. Okay.
You get 1,000, and you get 1,000.
I put my 1,000 in. Actually, GM wants to give me an extra 1,000. Yeah.
No. You check under your seat.
I'm sorry.
You check under your seat. You do not find an additional 1,000. You check under it again. There is still not 1,000. You check under it again because you are a cat. And there being no food in the food dish means come back and check later.
Oh, no.
Okay. Looking through effects, biography, spells, features, inventory. It's always the last place you look. Okay, so we just need to take that 2 and change that to a 3. And Mech now has 3,430 gold.
Right. It's amazing how many things you can, you know, how much gold you can rack up if you, like, don't eat. You know?
And don't buy a lot of magical items. You have the axe now. What else do you need?
Yeah, really. The great axe of intimidation.
You can get detailing on your chassis, you know, paint jobs occasionally.
Enter this a Simpsons like montage where Mech keeps going through warforged washes. Selecting the options for like extra rinse cycles or whatever. Every time you come out, you're shinier. Like,
I mean, that could work.
have you seen the, I think it was either a GIF or a small movie of somebody had cured a cast iron frying pan perhaps too many times. It was definitely nonstick at that point. It was very, very shiny.
Oof. Wow. Okay.
As a proud user of cast iron pans, I was intimidated. Anyway, Mech is not made of cast iron. However, no. Mech can be that shiny if Mech wants to be. I would make you roll stealth checks at disadvantage.
Sure, yeah.
I hide in the dark. Your eyes glint off of your armor.
Yeah. Something like that. That's why she has the straw hat, to make it not glare as much, you know?
Ram pops in from nowhere. You see? It's practical.
That hat is not practical.
It's fun, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Rand the Sith accountant apprentice found a straw hat that belonged to a corpse, but they were in the desert. So he wore it anyway to prevent from getting sunburn and heat stroke. By the way, it didn't work.
It did not work. Yes. Well, that's because the hat had been mangled by the enemies.
Yes. And I think he hasn't taken it off, even though they have achieved rescue and transport to civilization. The word civilization does have an asterisk behind it.
There's a hut.
Yeah, it's a hut palace. But anyway. Jinx, you owe me 1,000 gold. Take it off your character sheet.
No, I said it first. No.
Jinx, you owe me 1 paladin level.
No. They're mine.
Besides, you are cat.
If it went away, then Taria should be very concerned about where it had gone, because it might be going back to them.
What's that in your mouth? A paladin level? No! Tarius chasing Quincy around Elysium or whatever the Pantheon goes to in this campaign setting. I haven't really defined that clearly. Can you come back here with that level? You were never like this when you were a human. That's the thing about Shamrashes. Shamrashes are the souls of dead followers of a deity who have been transformed into a winged dog to serve in the afterlife. So Quincy was not always a dog, but mm-hmm. Quincy is leaning into all of the things that dogs do that make them endearing.
Burp is absolutely looking forward to someday being a winged dog, because Burp is just going to have the absolute most grandest time.
Would Burp be a winged corgi or a winged minpin?
I don't know what the minpins look like, so probably corgi, because that is the most hilarious.
A Doberman pincher, but they never get big. They just get more bitey.
Oh, no, I think corgi. I'm attuned to.
I think corgi. You're attuned to your flagstone and probably your sneakers.
Oh, the flagstone is attunement required also, which means that I don't have any more attunement slots.
Someone was thinking of shopping. Where does it say attunement in the new character sheet? I haven't had to look that up before.
Equipment.
Price, weight, quantity, charges.
And little gear thing.
Oh,
next
the
to
gear thing
the
says
shield.
Attuned. No, you can attune to three things. You had the armor of radiant resistance, and it didn't say you were attuned to that.
Right, and I'm attuned to a staff of heat. That's attunement required. Fine.
I'm going to stop clicking on things in your character sheet because you're clicking on them
please.
Too.
I don't need to be resistant to radiant damage. I'll just not be attuned to it.
It seems very unlikely that I'm going to hit you with radiant damage. Even a splash damage. I don't think the smite does splash damage.
You know, there are spellcasters who can change the kind of damage that a fireball spell does. A radiant damage fireball.
Yeah, well, you know.
Or if you're going with a theme of what fireball usually does in the generic, stereotypical D&D party, psychic damage fireball.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I didn't ask how big the room was or how everyone's feeling in the support group. I said I cast psychic damage.
Oops.
Yep.
And that's why the sorcerer doesn't go to group therapy anymore.
We should figure out what we're going to be doing since you put things up on the quest.
I did share that. But I am also going to ask, how are each of you spending your downtime? And I'm going to move characters around on the board as I ask this question as a way of keeping track of who has given me the answers.
Sneak attack!
You spend your time doing sneak attacks.
Well, probably practicing rogue things and clawing up the tabaxi tree in places it's supposed to be clawed up and, you know.
Okay. I would have concerns if you just spent the entire time doing sneak attacks over and over again. But also, you are Cat.
Yes.
There's like one other tabaxi rogue that you just keep sneak attacking each other. You're on other opposite sides of one of the tabaxi tree branches.
Blurs of fur running around the central tree there.
You stop for a moment to stare at an unspecified location in the distance, and that's when you feel someone pounce on your tail.
And then you yelp. And then you go and get them and hit them in the face again. Yeah.
Yes. So that
Don't
is definitely...
Occasionally sneak attacking Cavil, of course, like when they're going by, you jump up and grab them by the leg while they're flying and, you know.
Frag, no!
Well.
Why?
Siblings,
yes. Oh my.
I'd say don't worry, siblings grow out of it, but also cats, so maybe they don't.
Never. Cat.
Sokka's considered an old man so far as cats go, and he hasn't grown out of it yet. In any case, at some point, A does approach you. Possibly A is like shadowing you to learn additional rouge techniques, because while you're a rogue and A is a rouge, they overlap frequently.
Quite a lot.
Yes. It's amazing how much rogue and rouge overlap. It's weird that they use the same letters to spell those words. Anyway.
You got a moment?
Sure.
I want to apologize for not trusting you all early on. I probably should have.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not okay. I made a lot of mistakes, and I mean, so does everyone, but I made a lot of mistakes, and I didn't necessarily stop making them right away.
Nobody ever does. It's okay.
You remember Zed?
Uh-huh. That's the one who got away, and, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, Zed's the one that got away, and didn't actually get very far, and I should have told you, but you remember those kobolds in the sewers?
Yeah.
Zed was with them.
But they were mean to you.
Yeah, but also you kind of wiped out my entire clan, so I was sort of feeling like most of you were mean also.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't have been mean to you if they were hanging out with someone who was from your clan.
Well, they were mean to me because I was a moon kobold, and moon kobolds exiled them to here.
But what about Zed, if he was with them?
I don't know what lies Zed told.
Oh.
Zed always had a high charisma.
Yeah, I can do it.
He's a warlock, after all.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know who his patron is?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to say if you don't want to.
I thought I already... A was saying yeah as if you'd asked a question that you already knew the answer to. We served Malathomax. Big ancient green dragon wanted to be a god.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Thing is, if you're a warlock and your patron dies, you don't necessarily lose all your powers.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, the power is given. Clerics and paladins, it's sort of on loan.
Uh-huh.
But warlocks keep it. Anyway, I was kind of sort of keeping tabs on Zed, but last I checked, when we got back from the whole Marwood thing, there's a lot less kobolds in the sewers. A whole bunch of them went up and left overnight. Zed was one of them.
I think I'm a little worried about all those other kobolds, and I hope they're safe.
I don't think they are. Historically speaking, the Lost Eye clan didn't have a very good job of longevity.
I can't blame Zed for wanting to reestablish a clan, but I'm a little worried about what that might entail.
Well, it's kind of hard to get back to the moon, and the whole thing that we were doing there was one poorly made plan after another for conquering it. And usually the leader would get killed, so the new leader would come up with a worse plan.
I hate to say this, because I don't want you to be sad, but I think your clan made some very poor choices.
And water is wet.
Yeah.
I have been doing therapy. We've been talking through this, yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many on-call psychologists there are at an Adventurers Guild. It was a good call on the founder's part.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought you should know, one, I didn't lie, but I wasn't being 100% truthful by not letting you know that one of those kobolds was Zed. In my defense, I was mostly cowering.
I mean, that's perfectly reasonable.
But also, now Zed has a clan of their own again.
And maybe making bad choices.
Yeah.
We should find out, shouldn't we?
I don't know where to start looking yet, but I'll let you know.
Thanks.
Okay. So with that interaction done, who else wants to tell me what they've been doing?
Are we at Flag headquarters right now?
Right. Well, this is an intermission, so if this take place at Flag headquarters, or you could go somewhere else. This is not, what are you doing one night? This is over a period of time before the next adventure starts.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out, where we are in the world at the moment, but yeah.
Where do you want to be? Your base is Flag headquarters, but travel is possible. You do have the ability to teleport around.
Okay. I think Mech is going to go back to Flag headquarters if she's not there now, and hang out in the bar area without really, you know, drinking anything because she's robot, and just kind of studying the humans and the different humanoids around her because she's not quite sure how to understand them.
In my head canon, one of the staff at the bar gives you an empty cup that you can just occasionally hold up to your mouth equivalent every now and then.
Oh, thank you. This is how humans do this, yes? Like humanoids?
Some Warforged like it just to fit in. You don't have to use it if you don't want to.
I think it's fun.
Some Some Warforged models can actually intake oil that way.
That is interesting.
You have a choice of oils. There's olive oil. There's motor oil. Various weights.
Hmm. Interesting. I had no idea this was here.
There's also rendered lard, which is... It's for a specific type of Warforged.
I see.
They tend to be steampunk and have like large smokestacks coming out of them. Don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah.
They usually save the lard for cooking. Wow. Okay, so while you are doing this, at some point, at multiple points, you do end up having conversations with people because some individuals, when they are drinking, become more talkative. Some become less talkative. You just deciding to people watch doesn't necessarily mean that people will decide you're there to people watch. They might decide you were there because... you wanted to hear what they had to say.
That's probably true. So she's going to listen in on whatever they tell her.
And sometimes this opinion increases with the number of alcoholic beverages they have consumed.
And I can calculate how many they've consumed. So I know about what the stopping point could be for each one.
Well, you know? Kurg remains sober. Was the tank, or currently still is the tank, for the submarine Optimals. They are still down a permanent replacement for the unfortunate bard who was the mortal enemy of Chadrick, whose name is escaping me right now because... Right. Jax, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But they've still been making progress because they can have temp people come in and help them out. Usually they're looking for a healer. There have been times where techs popped in to help, and it was the equivalent of, in World of Warcraft, a level 80 character running a bunch of people through stocks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We are at the location where we need to wrap up this bandit incursion. You all stay here. I'll be right back.
No, Tex wouldn't do that.
Tex would just be stay behind me, and if you get hurt, retreat immediately.
Tex would be using Commander's Strike to suggest the most appropriate course of action. They're not going to learn if she does it all herself.
That's true.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mech is in the bar, not really drinking and anything, and just listening to people's weird stories.
Well,
she doesn't understand the humanoids.
There are plenty of people willing to share weird stories. And if word gets around that you like to hear weird stories, the word doesn't always include they're all weird to you. They're biologicals.
Right.
So, of course, they think, well, what's weird to us? And they tell you those stories.
Ah.
Which
interesting.
Makes it even weirder.
Mm-hmm. She's starting to wonder if she's ever going to understand humans or humanoids.
And we were all purple for a week after that. You would think
week.
You would think prestidigitation would have done something about it. It did. It just changed the saturation of the purple. It tended to make it more purple.
Fascinating.
Yeah, well, I hope that Augmentite item was worth it. Anyway, In the background, Hobby is cackling and hanging from Cavill's leg in midair. Wonderful, Beth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think Cavill would think that's wonderful, but the GM thinks that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Kurg strikes up a conversation with you at some point, mostly referring to the quests that are on the board, because you go to the quest hub bar and grill because that's the quest hub. You go there to see what the quests are and also pretend to drink.
Yes.
Yes. That's what you do. You pretend to drink and know things.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Some of these things I'm not sure that I've been told. The things that they are telling me, I don't know that I've wanted to know that, but that's all right.
Well, Kurg isn't on your level anymore. The submarine optimals are doing quests that are lower down on the tier of difficulty. But one of the ones on your tier is assisting the Red Death of Plantain. And Kirk's heard stories about that. Apparently, the Red Death of Plantain has a habit of sending people on missions. This isn't a repeatable quest like helping the Augmentites or getting something for Mo. Those are on every tier, and there's a bunch of things to do for that. The Red Death shows up now and then, and it's usually a higher tier quest. And the stories that come back are varied, but tend to involve a lot of combat. Apparently, if you are assisting the Red Death, you are making a lot of things go squish, splat, crunch, or otherwise ceasing to be in their current state of assembly.
Well, I know what Mech thinks we should do.
Let's go
for it. Or occasionally visiting a tower a quarter of the way around the continent. And those quests, they just tend to shudder instead of going into details.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, it's probably fine. Kurg's interested in trying that when the submarine optimals get high enough in tier bracket that they can do that and possibly get a full-time healer. All right. So we have two more people present. Cavill and Tex, who wants to go next?
How much downtime do we have?
It's variable. In between arcs, various members of the party have been continuing to pick up solo quests or joining other groups. Canonically, Tex, of course, has been doing stuff with the Submarine Optimals and other low-level cohorts. And canonically, Cavill has been getting more items for Mo than people thought Mo would ever want.
I don't know why they thought such a silly thing.
I don't know either. Do they understand I'm running a business? Supply and demand. There's demand. I need some supply.
I also occasionally go to the Augmentites and help them hold up particularly large objects so that they can tinker underneath them.
Do you need a break? You've been holding that for like 3 hours now.
My joints lock. I am fine.
What, my joints lock too, and I usually need to see a chiropractor for that.
I have been counting to 200,000 by threes. It is stimulating.
So the random numbers I've been saying out loud as I fiddle with this were probably not a good idea.
Oh no, those were fine. They add difficulty. It is challenge mode, I am told.
Well, all things considered, I probably should not be challenging the Warforged that is holding the 3-ton object over my head. It's the engine of Damocles. It's enjoyable.
Engine of Damocles.
Oh, is that its name?
It is now.
I will remember that.
It wasn't, but the DM just came up with it.
Well, let me know when you've finished.
I was watching a small clip from a live-action game where they have the equivalent of wild magic tables, but it's they're twists that you can do for various things. And one of them that somebody rolled was, you can now address the fourth wall directly. You can talk directly to the DM.
Oh, no.
And the player rolled with it.
Oh.
And everyone else is like, Who are you talking to? Frost was always everyone's least favorite character. I'm right here! And there appears to be a raid on Twitch. What? Some of them are encountering this campaign for the first time. Welcome. Anyway.
137, 226. 137, 229. 137, 232.
Someone taps you on the elbow, likely because your shoulder is too high up to reach.
Yes.
Excuse me. Are you with Flag?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I thought so. This person does not look like any of the Ogmanites you've seen. Ogmanites aren't all gnomes. There is a high percentage of Tinker gnomes in the Ogmanite Enclave, but they come in a variety of lineages and species and whatnot. I mean, they hired Kevin, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. I think they hired Kevin. He's been showing up for work. They're not sure who hired him, but they're sure somebody did.
Somebody must have. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This person is, they have very pale skin, and they are wearing a very dark hooded cloak, and the hood is pulled over their head, not in a way where they're trying to hide their face, but it is pulled up and over like a security blanket of sorts. So, hi, I'm Emile, and I've been trying to find someone to take our quests. We put in two of them, but no one's taking them. And so I've been trying to find people who, like, I'm not very good at cold calls.
Which quests are those?
They're the ones for Oregano. It's a small salt mining town to the south. You might not have heard of it. That's one of them, yeah. Yeah. Give me a perception check.
Okie dokie. Give me just a second.
We go from role playing to, oh wait, I have to do an actual roll.
Wow.
With a 24, nice. If I took the lower number, it would still be over 20.
I'm rolling an advantage, by the way, because of the Sentinel Shield.
There we go. Emile has fangs.
Okay.
And very pale skin. And the eyes may or may not be very red. So,
well,
so I am. I keep thinking I'm hearing Ellie starting to talk, so I stop, and then I don't hear anything.
Yeah, no. Tex has met tieflings. Tex has met cats who were siblings of tieflings. Tex has heard of lizard folk and dragonborn who were kobolds. Tex does not judge this world, even if it is strange. And some people like makeup and casual dentistry.
Somewhere out there is a vengeful Kenku with a doctorate.
Oh no.
Screaming murder. And in this case, that's literal.
Murder.
Betrayed!
Tex is aware that she can draw an inference and is choosing not to.
So, I'm not saying that you have to do either of those quests, but just, you know, putting one of the faces to the quest, it was suggested maybe that might make some cohorts consider it. So I'm running out of things to say, so I am going to go find the next person on my list here to ask if they might consider possibly doing those quests. It was nice to meet you. You are very tall, by the way.
I hear that a lot, especially here. Although, typically it takes a very particular form, and I have always wanted to meet a dragon turtle. So perhaps I will convince my cohort to look into your quest. Thank you for coming to visit me.
Oh, sure. And have fun holding the... Is that supposed to have smoke coming out of it? No! Sorry, I got distracted by the conversation. It wasn't turning this thing.
Oops. I wish you luck.
Put it under the hood! Put it under the hood! There is a vent hood that's over there. To the side.
137,235. 137,238.
We continue to hear Tex counting as we do a fade to the last member of the party who is here. Cavil.
Cavil is trying to find magic armor that doesn't require attunement. I think this is a valid and sensible thing for Cavil to be doing.
It turns out a lot of magical armor that is sold at the consignment shop is of very specific crafting. Not so much mass-produced, but it's a rare, unique item not seen for 1,000 years and was only recently recovered from the great dungeon of Carlissimo or something like that. And, oh, yes, because of the special features, you do have to attune to it. And you might spend a good 5 minutes having to remind the shopkeep. It's not the guy who runs the shop this time. It's one of his assistants. Clearly not really supposed to be minding the shop by himself, because you have to remind him after each suit of armor he shows you that you're looking for something that does not require attunement.
Look, I get it. This is very nice. I know you have to try to upsell me, I get it, but like, there is only so much real estate in my soul for like magical connections. I'd make a warlock joke about that, but
you don't have to. I'm standing right behind you.
Boss, what Hello, can Cavil. I do?
Oh, so many things. You have been very useful. We're going to leave young Quentin Jr. over here. That's not my actual name. That's fine, Quincy. That's also not my name. We have to go now. The adults need to have a conversation. Okay. Could you wait outside, please?
I'm 145.
You're a good kid. You may stand on my lawn for 3 seconds before I shake my walker at you. You don't seem to need a walker. I keep it for special occasions. Just wait outside, please. It's not even your shop. I employ the people who made or recovered most of the things in here. Wait outside. Okay. And they go outside. Well, that was rather mean of me, but I do need to keep up appearances, don't I? You know, the odd thing about this working relationship we have is, a lot of the small talk that's usually done to begin a conversation is irrelevant. I can't ask, how are you doing? I know how you're doing the moment I think to ask it.
I could lie to make it more interesting.
You could. It would be useful practice. But never mind. I wanted to make a suggestion for you for a future mission. Now, you've been doing a lot of them for me, and I truly appreciate them. A lot of them have been solo and therefore smaller items, ones that were not as heavily guarded, ones where a single individual going through and making a few persuasive statements or playing a merry little tune would be able to get the item that was required. This is something that is requiring of a group effort, and also possibly pertinent to interests for your party or cohort, whatever we're calling it here. I like how concentration hold person just disappeared off of a character. Mm-hmm. It's an intermission. We're not worrying about that, but things held over from previous sessions.
Yeah.
That's hilarious to me.
And also I'm trying to figure out where there's the long rest.
Oh, good point.
So,
yeah.
There are 2 quests on the board right now that involve going to the Orklands. Neither of them advertised involve going to the Orklands. You know that old wizard you helped find recently?
Well, no is a strong word, but I hope they're doing all right.
Oh, he's doing splendidly. A bit senile, but the being around friends tends to help with that, especially if the friends have connections, and the friend has connections. Well, Marwood has been busy
since he got out of that portable hole that Malathomax kept him in for who knows how many centuries. He is not quite sure himself. He published a paper, a scientific paper. Well, scientific is what they would use here. And he gestures in the vague general direction of the Ogmanite Enclave. But wizardly, journal, whatever. About space exploration and a portable Liamin's tiny hut. Raised to my brows. The Ogmanites were intrigued, as they tend to be if you put the word space and the word travel together in a sentence.
How many tiny huts have they somehow managed to fire into space?
2,807, last I checked. With a significantly higher number not making it all the way. Fortunately, after some incidents, they've started to appoint more safety officers and give them actual teeth, as opposed to only the ability to suggest things. So none of these have been manned missions.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. Instead, they've been sending care packages. I think they call them black boxes. It's an odd name. The boxes aren't even black. I don't really understand that. But basically, they're things that record what happens, and then after everything goes wrong, or if luckily everything goes right, either way, they took a look at these things and determined how they need to make changes. I like my idea of finding magical items, then paying people to make lots of copies of them myself, but I guess somebody has to make the original eventually. Texas under the influence of concentration hold object. I thought it was concentration count very high by threes. Anyway, so thing is, some of these black boxes land on the island. Those are very useful. Some of them go a bit further away. Three of their most successful attempts, the black boxes landed in the Orc lands.
Ah.
Yes. They can sort of kind of triangulate the locations. I say sort of because one of them appears to be moving. They think it may have been eaten by one of the local animals. Would have had to be a bigger animal for it to not notice.
Makes sense.
Well, that is one mission, and that's not 100% related to any of your interests or mine, except that it takes you close to something that I'd like you to recover.
Yeah.
In addition to some other research that's being done, I came upon the coordinates for, I believe what the person who found it described it as was a giant killer robot.
Oh, no.
I was assured that it was likely very non-functional. You and I both know what we can infer from saying that they were sure it was not functional, but never mind about that. I'm interested in this thing. Specifically, well, magical items, if they have a sentience, the sentience is throughout its entire being. It's controlled by a magical field, from what I've been told. But robots and Warforged, they're different. They have the processing capabilities of their mind is more centrally located. A central processing thing. Like a brain, but not. I'd like you to see if this thing still has a brain. And if so, I'd love for you to bring it back. Because this robot is old. Very old. Old enough that it is partially embedded in a mountain of sedentary rock. And it wouldn't be the first thing that you found from a very long time ago that looked like it was more advanced than what we have nowadays.
Therefore, it might be linked to the domain of dread.
Push comes to shove, even if it isn't, I'd rather it be in my hands than Scleroris.
Yeah.
And hey, you'd be able to get two quests in one go.
I'll talk to the others. I can probably convince them.
Oh, and one more thing. Mm-hmm. We've been playing for about an hour. What do you say we take a short break? All right, and we're back.
And we are not quite actually done in this scene in the consignment shop. Now, Cavil, you were interested in trading in your current armor for something that does not require you to bond with it, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, and young Q over there, who is peeking in through the window, hello, I see you, was doing a very poor job of finding such a piece.
Well, I was going to call him a car salesman, but,
on the one hand,
form, suddenly Mo now knows things about cars.
I'm going to have to make a mental note to talk to an engineer about that. Leads to global warming, you say? I do like the weather in Plantain. Oh, longer hurricane seasons. Never mind. Well, the good news is, well, on one hand, he was doing his best. On the other hand, that was his best. As luck would have it, I have an eye for these things. And he walks over to one of the armor racks. Apologies for selecting something that is quote-unquote off the shelf. And he takes a hanger that has a suit of armor hanging from it, gives it a shake. It didn't need a shake, but he gives it anyway because the aesthetic. And brings it over, one arm holding the coat hanger, the other arm pushed up underneath it so you get a better view of it. So this is glamored studded leather. You'll notice the fine stitching, but no one else has to. You can make it look however you want. Normal travel clothing, that's fine. Ninja outfit, you can go with that too. Full plate mail. It won't be effective as full plate, but in our line of work, that's a benefit, not a drawback.
Yeah.
Mind you, it does have a hefty price tag, but I believe you have a trade-in?
So I do.
Yes, let me see. Mo does not need to see. Mo knows immediately what armor this is because of the Warlock Pact. So Armor of Radiant Resistance. Oh, that's quite useful, unless you have three other magical items that you do not wish to part with that require some level of bonding. Totally understandable, but very useful armor for those who need it. I know a few possible buyers that I might point in the way of this shop. Let's just add this to their inventory, shall we?
It sounds like a plan, boss.
Okay, and we'll just put this in the ledger here under Quasi's name, or whatever his name is. It's written up here. I'll just copy it, whatever. George. His actual name is George. Well, I was way off.
Excuse Jesus.
Huh. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that Quincy is the dog.
Yes, but he was named after someone.
The archaeologist.
Oh, no. Someone else. If we have the time, I might share the story with you, but I believe the business transaction has been completed. We have a pact and also a new suit of armor. I couldn't resist. We find our enjoyment where we can. And if
absolutely.
If you happen to find a giant robot in your travels, I'll be very interested in learning all about it.
I'll do my best.
You always do. He opens the door to let George in. Right, congratulations on your big sale. You'll find that no money has traded hands yet. But that's not actually a sale. But wait 5 minutes. I'm going to go talk to some people. I know a guy. Are you the guy? In this case, you're half right. End scene.
A hobby!
For the listeners at home, in Discord, Beth wrote, Hobby pounces Cavil as they go out the door. This was a scene out of Calvin and Hobbes. This was one of many scenes out of Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
This is a Cavil running gag in Calvin and Hobbes. It is not the noodle incident.
No, that would involve Twi'leks.
The noodle incident was never explained, which is why it was the noodle incident.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I believe somebody, more than one person, did homebrew a Twi'lek race for D&D. You could have done it, but you chose tiefling, which is also acceptable.
Yep. I did it because that makes more sense for the setting.
This setting has giant hippo people. And on one occasion, an elephant person dressed as Doctor Who took one of the kobolds away for several sessions.
Right, so I couldn't be a Wheelock. I'd have to be, yeah, something suspiciously similar to...
An off-brand Discworld also exists in this universe.
Right, it has to be off-brand.
Eo prefers to be on-brand.
It can't just be the exact...
A kobold artificer runs out of a shop and says, "Look, my latest invention, a plasma cutlass."
Oh, no.
I don't know why it glows red.
Time to Kosha being called -3 minutes.
Look, I just want you to know two things. One, I had nothing to do with the fire this time. And also, that's the third energy-based sword incident this week. No, I don't want an energy-based sword. I have my dagger of sneak attack. It's very effective. Well, it does require you to yell sneak attack.
Yeah.
We talked about this before the recording, but now I'm talking about it in the recording. Monty's dagger of sneak attacks gives him advantage on attack rolls with it if he yells sneak attack when he uses it. He doesn't see the problem with this. It does draw everyone's attention to him, which is great because usually they line up when they're running towards him, and that's very useful. So long as you need to be in a cone shape, please. That's it. Thank you. And cut to outside the building. You just see the windows light up brightly for a little bit.
I mean,
I seem to have melted the stone walls just a tiny little bit. I sealed all the cracks in the mortar. It's an improvement. We can bill them for this. Tieflick. Oh, yeah. Tieflings don't all look the same. Their horns can be different shapes. Not all of them have horns. Some of them have tails. Some don't.
I'm just saying that it would be hilarious.
The tiefling character in the first Planescape computer game looked very little like any of the tieflings we see today.
Huh.
The only thing that's required is they have some kind of fiendish heritage, but there's a lot of fiends out there.
I feel like I should be able to make a pun out of this, but I'm just too tired to do it. Oh, well.
It's fine. So
someone else will come to the...
A lot of you have been given suggestions for what to do next, but these are group activities. So I'm going to try to shut up. Probably ineffectively, but I'm going to try to shut up and let you all have a conversation.
Bobby is behind whatever Cavil wants there, although she does feel rather sympathetic to Oregon. Oregon?
Oregano.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's spelled oregano.
Yep.
The town was Oregon. Created as a parody of a spaghetti western. The sheriff's name was Al
terribly.
Dente. He wanted to burn the whole thing to the ground immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, to be fair, wanted to do that to pretty much every town.
Yeah,
true.
Hobby is very sympathetic to them and thinks that they should be put on the list for after we do whatever it is that Mo wants here. And also, we don't want a giant robot falling into Sklorora's hands. That would be bad. We do not need a giant robot.
Giant robot might have been made by the Domain of Dread, folks.
Being piloted by like 5 or 6 dwarf brains in jars.
It's incredibly old. The last thing you found that was incredibly old and looked like it had new technology, it was the ship that was run by control.
All those zombies. Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't... It was contemporary to the founding of that particular Domain of Dread. whose name I have written down somewhere, but it was a heck of a lot of Latin and I don't remember it.
Control was the domain of Dread, though, wasn't it?
Control had some GPS style location sensing, and the world got wiped out by the moon going through it. But that particular domain of Dread, when it was founded, when it was created, it was a snapshot in time of the world as it existed before the moon strike, which is why when people went there, they would see things like off in the distance, there's the Tarrasque, slow motion destroying a building.
How long was the Tarrasque rampaging before they dropped the moon on it?
Has not been determined.
I wonder if someone made a giant robot to try to fight the Tarrasque.
That might be a possibility.
That before Sclerora does. I'm very sympathetic to Oregon, whatever. I'm very sympathetic to them, but Sclerora probably wants to devour the world or something.
Oregano is called Oregano because it's a mining town that mines salt because the ore is gone.
Hobby is going to never get the name right for reasons. Part of them is that she thinks it's slightly funny.
Also, Mo totally knew that the assistant's name was George.
That's Mo for you.
G and Q, they look pretty similar. They look similar.
Oh, Mo can read.
Details.
Yes.
Mo is a terrible goose. We know that.
I have a reputation to uphold or hold down or I'm not quite, this metaphor has gotten away from me. I'm just going to step out of the conversation. The DM is right. He couldn't show it up. Hey, I don't need that from you. I made you what you are and I don't forgive you. But
oh my, here we go.
Someone rolled on the wild magic table.
Mo acquired the ability to talk directly to the DM and break the fourth wall.
Yep. Had to happen eventually, you know.
Yep.
It already happened. He's the one who said we've been playing for an hour.
That's true, yeah. But I'm saying previous to that, you know.
Next question is whether Tex wants to suggest that we find the robot second.
Yes, I do think that's a good idea.
Right.
Second or first?
Well, I do want to meet a dragon turtle.
Could be interesting.
But
the logical thing would be to split the party.
No, that would not be the logical thing.
That would not help at all. That would make things more difficult, I believe.
Well, we could grab NPCs, you see, to assist.
Requiring the DM to have even more of his characters be fighting other characters he's made.
Yeah.
All right, so this character I control rolls to attack this other character I control. All right, I'm just doing a solo game here because there's so many of these things and y'all rolled low on your initiative this time. Except for Mech, who had a 25. Well, I don't know how that worked.
There's an alternative here.
Fold the world in half so Oregano and the Orklands are on top of each other.
No, we are not turning Oregano into origami.
No, Circulus would be origami. Oregano would be a small splat.
Orkigami.
No.
Anyway. When this campaign first started, you said that it was an option to make multiple characters and swap out depending on the mission.
This is quite possible, yes.
If we picked up if we split the party to go both places and picked up other people on the way, we could make those other people.
And then we would have three games running on Saturdays.
Yikes.
We would do one arc. And then say, and while that arc was happening, we do the other arc. But canonically, they'd be happening simultaneously, even if they were RP'd separately.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I thought you were making a joke about how we would get attached to those characters, too. And then they would have...
I mean, we would.
Oh, I don't... Yes, mm-hmm. you would. It's... Look, we're already thinking of a campaign for the Halloween one-shot characters.
Yeah.
Cogbucket JR exists because I fell in love with the Cogbucket character I created for a one-shot that Matt was running. We even fall in love with our creations at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Straw, taken off a corpse, or otherwise.
I will be perfectly happy to do Oregano and the Orklands in sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I, whichever way we do them, we probably should do them in sequence. Even if we decided to, well, I wouldn't mind having more characters to be in love with, but, you know.
That's my secret. When you're the one running the games, you can make all your characters.
It's true.
True. Mm-hmm. Hobby in character is probably going to at least... for a little while be arguing, yes, but Mo told us to, and then probably do a very long pause and go, right, but he's not the lord of one of the hells right now. Forgot.
That robot has been there for countless eons. Surely one more won't hurt.
Unless Glorora finds it, but...
Yeah, so I'm not going to make like a decision here unless it's a tiebreaker, but yes, the robot's been there for eons, but for eons
the black boxes haven't,
and for eons Sclerora wasn't looking for things. Sclerora was kept in check by two way more powerful liches who are probably gone now. On the other hand, it's possible people are getting killed in Oregano. They both seem like things that need to be done right away, and they're things that people haven't been doing because they've just been sitting there on the quest hub while collecting dust.
I did kind of think somebody else would do one of them.
Very well.
Or they're afraid.
Kind of a shame we don't have extra time travel magic. Then we could do them both.
It's worth noting that the quest hub quest log, all the quests that are put up on that board, tend to cycle through fairly quickly, but the ones for your particular tier don't tend to. It might be that there aren't many cohorts that are the same level that you are.
That's fair.
Bobby remembers coming in at a very low level and seeing all the higher level people and is possibly slightly baffled that other people have not been leveling as quickly as we have.
My dad tells stories about going to his old high school reunion, and the last one he went to, he looked around and said, why are all these old people here?
Oh.
That was over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. uh-huh. Mech, Hobby, would you kindly go to the Orklands, and A, probably unless you want to meet a dragon turtle very closely, and seek out this buried Warforged? I will pay the fees that you incur in hiring other adventurers to go with you.
It's Kevin, not so
would
much.
Would you accompany me to Oregano?
Look.
Okay.
Mo asked them to do it, and they don't like to say no to their patron.
Very well. You can do the scouting in the Orklands. Hobby, would you come with me to Oregano?
I can do that. And I'm sure I can find some healer around here to go with you. I mean, if the quests in our tier aren't moving, maybe a cohort broke up.
I've been practicing making bandages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we can find someone.
No, I'm getting really good at it. Look.
Oh.
I do not doubt you, but I also do not bleed.
Same.
A has tied a passable tourniquet.
You have done an excellent job.
Make sure to loosen that tourniquet before any problems happen.
Actually, I did that wrong.
Oh.
Let me give it a second here. Ah, there we go. So here's the thing. Tying a tourniquet is the easy part. Try removing
it. Getting
it
off again.
So rolling at disadvantage, A is now unable to remove the tourniquet.
May I give you advice?
They may have tied the tourniquet around their nose, which also means their mouth because they're kobold.
Oh, no.
They wanted two hands to tie it. That's a 13 sleight of hand check to try to remove it.
Yeah.
That doesn't beat the 15 that A rolled originally.
A, do you mind if I cut this bandage?
Nod for yes. Shake your head for no.
There's a lot of nodding.
Don't worry, I don't have... Hobby has claws. And can delicately pick off the bandage.
And there's the comedic relief for this session. Okay.
Now, when you use a tourniquet, you have done an admirable job of tying it, but leave some room. Then place a stick or other sturdy long object into the tourniquet and turn that to achieve pressure. That way, you can simply reverse the turning to release the tourniquet.
You know a lot of anatomy for somebody who has no circulation.
This is true. I dedicated myself to saving people who had been attacked by the jurors.
I'm glad I've met you.
And I you. However, I would feel more comfortable if you went to the Orklands. The dragon turtle is very large and quite ferocious. I would very much prefer that you not get eaten.
I like that primary motivation. Uh-huh. Do you know the Orklands have T-Rexes?
Yes, but I have met a T-Rex. Tex is deliberately taking this, not taking this the right way.
I haven't actually ever seen a T-Rex, but I was told that there's a kobold who used to get turned into one regularly.
You know what T-Rexes can't do?
Tie their shoes.
That too, but also they don't have wings. So, if we meet a T-Rex, I'll pick you up.
Or I
throw knives at it from out of range.
Crash is sitting there thinking, this sounds like a challenge.
Well, if a T-Rex had wings, it would be a dragon.
Right.
Crash is taking notes about homebrew creatures.
Oh. Oh,
the big bad is a mad scientist.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the Quetzalcoatl thing.
And if any of us need to be in the other place, we can call each other and ask number services to
swap.
That is one of the built-in components for the ring, where you can swap one character for another character. Although I think I put in stipulations about velocity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that now that you say it.
Yeah, there's no gaming the system of attempting to achieve maximum velocity and then get teleported to just above the big bad's head.
Oh, yeah.
Incidentally, this entire time I've been assuming that the flagstone is, like, attached behind where Tex's ear would be.
Oh,
oh, that's neat.
She can reach up and do the Secret Service thing.
There's more than one member of Flag that actually keeps the stone lodged in their ear like an AirPod.
Oh my gosh. Mech has a little sort of chest pocket to put small things in so she won't lose them. Usually it's extra screws and stuff like that. And so that's where hers is in that little pocket on her chest.
A keeps it in a belt pouch.
That's probably where Hobby has hers.
So we are agreed. Are we?
I believe that's so.
Mm-hmm. Hobby and I will go to Oregano, and Cavill and Mech and A will go to the Orklands. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I hope you enjoy your time there.
I hope there's seafood. If I have to get wet. Mm-hmm.
And look for a proper replacement healer.
Good idea.
I like how that was, I think, a 9.
A 9 on the die.
And you got a 20.
Mm-hmm. I'm good at investigation.
Welcome to level 11, everyone.
Right. Wow.
Ellie asked me to, if possible, have this campaign last long enough to get into the higher levels, because there were some neat things that Ellie wanted to do with this particular class.
Yes. I'm looking forward to them.
So level 11 is not going to be the end of it unless something bad happens, like, say, a TPK.
Okay.
In which case, we'll start up again 100 years later after Sklorora has been ruling the planet for 100 years.
Oh my. Okay.
You will be a different band of adventurers who has found a time machine and is trying to go back in time to before Sklorora took over and stop the event that caused that to happen, thus preventing the first party from getting TPK'd.
Interesting.
As punishment for TPKing, you would all have to play two characters in the same location.
I've done that before, though.
Yes. You know? I didn't say you'd be the one punished.
No, I get that, but I just think it's like, it can be done, you know?
Oh, yeah, it can be done. I have done a merging of the Pact Tactics campaign and the Circulus campaign for the Malathomax battle.
Yes, I remember that.
And it was painful as the DM to have that many characters taking actions in combat. I said someone would get punished.
And then we did it again.
It was me. I was talking about me.
Aww.
Yes. So that's the plan. You are going to split the party.
Yep.
Yes.
And try to find a healer. I am going to suggest that this is where we end this recording for tonight. And possibly we spend some time after I stop the recording discussing logistics.
Okay.
I do know of a force healer who might be available. They're very polite. You could say they're a people person.
That would in fact be logistics, yes.
Yes. Every time I use logistics, that is the trio I'm thinking of now. Because of you, Beth. It's your fault.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yay!
So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for playing. Tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. We don't have anything to plug, do we?
I don't know. I mean, Io's mom writes books, and you can find them at ElizabethMcCoy.com, and you can decide if that's worth plugging or not. If you think they are worth plugging, and you happen to be on social media, you could also tell your friends that you like them, and they should tell their local library to get the ebooks so that, you know, share the wealth or share the words, and I still get paid, get to help my friends out. And speaking of books,
my website is bookofjen.net. It is something that I frantically write about for a while and then forget what I was doing lately, you know. So there's a lot of stuff on there. There's some plenty of video game stuff and other things and stories sometimes and things like that. That's at bookofjen.net. I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which comes out every Saturday if I'm healthy enough to do one. And I did create one early this morning, and it should be up soonish. So those are at shatteredsoulstone.com.
And speaking of websites,
we have a website. Oh yeah, we do. AaronBSmith.com/cogwheel, where we put all of these podcasts after I edit them down. You can also find us on the Fediverse at is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can go to help us throw money into this bottomless pit called a hobby, and I can pretend it breaks even.
Oh dear.
In doing so, every hobby is a bottomless pit. We know this. It's made more bottomless when there's a cat trying to knock things off of... No, that's my D20. Don't knock my metal D20 off the table.
Oh. What anyway. Role did your cat receive? Did they get a 20?
Well, I was just ad-libbing because Beth was making cat noises.
Oh, okay.
Let's find out.
And hobby is...
19.
Oh, that's a
19.
Yeah.
Not bad. After Socket found my metal D4 on the floor and brought it back to me, it only rolled ones for like 2 days.
Wow.
Oh, no.
He defeated it. Anyway.
Oh, he defeated it.
By joining our Patreon, you would be able to hear these recordings the day I edit them, as opposed to... Well, we're recording this in June, and this will go live in early November.
Yep.
So, that's a thing. We have a bit of a buffer, and I like that buffer because we don't always get to play every session. Sometimes real life happens, and more often real life happens. So I like having that buffer. But in doing so, you'd also join a group of illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shen Shen, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, oh my, there are so many interesting things on this world that I want to investigate. I should probably send my new little helpers to more than one spot at once. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Dun dun dun!